of 21 million people.
Absolutely not. Dave Barry, welcome to WGN. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. We also have a lot of people from Illinois here. Just want to point that out.
But do they make the crazy? Do they make the crazy pages?
I think so. I think I contend that we're not responsible. That we're like the Ellis Island for crazy people, and we just show up here, you know, and do stuff, and we get blamed for it.
Yeah, I can see how you might feel a little put upon by that, because it's really become a thing. I've heard other radio people do like regular features every week. These stories from Florida. And it's always some sort of goofy thing. And I think you make a valid point, though, that it's a minority of a million or so compared to the entire population of a state.
It's way more than a million. I wish it were fewer. I live in Miami. There's probably a million here alone.
Dave Barry is a Pulitzer Prize winner. Wrote a syndicated humor column for the Miami Herald from 1983 to 2005. He has a great new book, which I have read from cover to cover. Want to assure you of that. This is one of those radio hosts that has read your book. Called Class Clown, The Memoirs of a Professional Wiseass. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and something I can't make out. I don't know what that icon is, or it's telling me to buy somewhere, and I've tried enlarging it. I've used a magnifying glass, but you know, I think it's maybe part of being 77 years old. At any rate, I totally suggest that wherever you can find it, you get it, because it has everything you would expect from Dave Barry and more. It's a memoir, so this goes back to your upbringing, and I told you I was the same age. We're both the same age, and I was raised in the Midwest. And much like was said by Bill Maher, that he grew up in your town, but he didn't. You know what I mean? I know you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I mean, we're all like the same. In a way, we're from the same era. We're the same person, the same childhood.
So to speak. You've been on a tour about this book, and I think maybe some people have heard about your father's alcoholism, your mother's depression, and eventual suicide. But there's also something in there that I don't think I've heard many people address, and that you write that your parents were Democrats, but they had friends, good friends, who were equally ardent Republicans, and they still got along.
This is something we've lost in this country, and I hope we can find a way to get it back. But my parents were I grew up in a town called Armont, New York, which is a suburb of New York City, and my dad and mom were ardent Democrats, but a lot of their friends, you know, we had some Wall Street people and some, you know, New York banker type people, and they were friends, and it was the assumption was everybody assumed that, you know, everybody else was rooting for the same thing. We wanted a better life for their kids. You know, they want the country to be okay. So if somebody disagreed with you politically about how to get there, you understood it was a disagreement about you know, means to an end. It wasn't, you know, you just didn't assume that the other person was just evil. And now we're God, it's like it's just scary now. Like, you know, I know so many people who just, if you don't agree with them politically, then you're out. You're not going to, you're not a human being in their eyes. You're just some horrible, you know, it's sad the way where we've come to.
And if you don't agree with some of them, there's possible retribution, which is a completely new concept, which certainly I don't like at all. Okay, we're going to leave this sociologically heavy conversation in the rearview mirror, because we're talking to Dave Barry, Class Clown, Memoirs of a Professional Wiseass, How I Went 77 Years Without Growing Up, when we come back on 720 WGN.
King of the Wild Frontier.
720 WGN, 16 minutes after 7 o'clock with John Landecker, and the one, the only... Dave Barry is with us, and he's got this book out, and he's got a picture of him as a kid. on the cover of the book, and you're wearing a Davy Crockett T-shirt. Now, you know,
and that is not a Photoshop. That is my second grade picture
from
Wampus Elementary School.
You know,
I had that T-shirt.
It goes to show you that you had to make that comment because I never assumed that it was Photoshopped. I accepted that totally. Why? Because I did the same thing. I actually had my mom make me a buckskin jacket with fringe on it. So,
whoa.
Yeah, come on. I was all in with Fess Parker and the whole deal.
Yeah.
Which was a great time, by the way. So, this book, Dave Barry, Class Clown Memoirs of a Professional Wise Ass, How I Spent 77 Years Without Growing Up. I feel the same way. I'm 77. I have spent, I don't do it anymore, but I spent a while over the years trying to figure out why it was that I didn't feel grown up. You know, I would look at my parents when they were the age I was, and they were grown up, but I just never broke through the grown-up barrier. And a professional wise ass, yeah, I can totally relate to that. But let me get to this.
It's a wonderful thing if you can make a career out of not doing anything useful with your life.
Hello? Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I got told when I was in school, I was a little bit of a discipline problem when I was in high school. And I was told more than once, you know, that's very funny, but you cannot joke your way through life. But it turns out you can joke your way through life.
Indeed, you can. I want to get to some specific stuff. Page 79. The Chicago Tribune gives you $500. See, that's a local tie-in here in Chicago, too. But
yeah.
What was that about?
Well, I had written an essay, which was the first really big, successful essay I wrote. To make myself, you know, eventually was going to lead to becoming a syndicated humor columnist. But I was paid by the Philadelphia Inquirer $350 for it, which was the most money I'd ever made for writing anything. And it went viral for the time. You know, a bunch of newspaper editors bought it and reran it. And I was unfamiliar with how that worked, syndication back then. So I'd gotten paid $350, and I was really happy with that. And I get this call in my house from the editor of the Chicago Tribune Sunday Magazine, whose name I forget. And he said, I saw your piece in the Inquirer. I really liked it. I want to reprint it. And I go, great. And he goes, how much do you charge? And I'm thinking, I already got $350, so anything after this is gravy. So I said, how about $50? And there's this pause, and he goes, we'll pay you $500.
And
I'm thinking if I had said 25, he might have countered with 1,000, you know, who knows?
And what year was that? I mean, what was 500?
1981.
Yeah.
It was my first really big time successful humor piece.
Right. So $500, I'm not going to do the math, but I can imagine what it would be worth
today. It's about $17 million in today's money.
I want to make sure. I'm going to get back to some stuff that I've heard you. Oh, by the way, the Davy Crockett, I did want to go back. I saw a interview you did with a television show where they mentioned Davy Crockett, and I don't think the host knew who Davy Crockett was, and you explained that he was the Taylor Swift of his time.
The hugest star of our era was Davy Crockett. It's kind of hard to imagine that now. Kids, can you imagine, seven, eight, nine, 10-year-old kids now being really excited about some, frontiersman from 150 years before? It just wouldn't happen. It would not happen.
No, but
he had no superpowers at all.
Well, they killed him a bar when he was only three.
And now he'd be so politically incorrect.
Oh,
completely unacceptable.
You are too much, man.
You would not utter his name aloud now.
A couple more things. This blew me away. In fact, I tried to read it on the air, and I got confused even while I was reading it. It's on page 231, and it says, like most old people, I have enough doctors to form a softball team. And what happens after that is, I totally relate. Would you care to expound on that? Can you?
Yeah. When you get to be my, I'm 77 you. So like you have to go see a heart doctor, and the heart doctor, you know, he just has to have some tests, and the tests maybe require you to look at another doctor, and but before you can get the test, you have to go to a kidney doctor to see if your kidneys can handle the test. So you go to a kidney doctor, and you have to go to of course you have a urologist. God knows you got to have a urologist, maybe a couple of urologists that are and they all want to see you in 6 more months. You're pretty much. Every time you turn around, you're going to see a doctor who wants to see you in 6 more months and probably going to refer you to another doctor.
Yeah.
A lot of doctors. I have a whole team.
I mean, I that was so relatable. I'm like, hey, that's my life. You're still in a band, right? Are you still in that band with Stephen King?
I am. Yep. Yeah. I'm in the Rock Bottom Remainders, Stephen King, Mitch Albom, Amy Tan, Scott Turow, Chicago fellow.
Yep.
A lot of good authors. We're a terrible band. We suck as a band. Genre is hard listening music, as Roy Blunt Jr. has described us. But we played as recently as November at the Miami Book Fair, and we still suck. but that's not stopping us. What I always say is we're not good at music, but we are good at endurance. We're better, to name another band that didn't endure as long as us, the Beatles, for example. We have endured longer than them. So on that score, we're better than the Beatles. No other score but that score.
Well, I want to say to anybody, musicians out there that are looking for a name for your band, check out page 240 and 241 where you list actual band names that you've come across over the years. And among my favorites are Paint Peeling Puffs of Flatulence, Raymond Burr's Legs, and Pinot Noir and His Nuances of Toast.
I mean, all wonderful, all terrific bands.
I'm laughing. Okay, I know that you get this one a lot, but I'll get it in here while we still got some time. Page 125, 126, Neil Diamond Complaints.
Oh, God. Yeah. I got into so much trouble with the Neil Diamond people.
Yeah.
It was I was writing this often happens when you write a humor column. You don't know what's going to set people off, but something almost always does. And in this case, I was talking about songs that I don't like, and I didn't mean to make this the biggest deal in it, but I said I don't really like the song where Neil Diamond sings, "I am, I said, to no one there, and no one heard it all, not even the chair." And my feeling is no kidding, Neil, it's a piece of furniture. You know, the table probably didn't pick up on it either. So I wrote that. That was not the point of. I mean, that was just one of many.
Yeah.
And I mean, the reaction to that is still going on.
Really?
Decades later.
Man.
Yeah, I'm still in trouble with the Neil Diamond people. There's a lot of them, and they're very dedicated to Neil. And I want to say, Neil's a wonderful, incredible songwriter, composer, just that he could have done a little better with that particular lyric. But it's still going on. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They have not forgiven me.
Well, you know, and he continues to have his songs performed at baseball stadiums and all over the world. And
just in Boston. You mean
in Boston.
When you say all over the world, you mean in Boston. Yeah.
Which to some people probably is the entire world. Yes. So, you know, you ran for president a couple of times, did you not, as a libertarian?
Yes, multiple times. The mainstay of my platform was, well, a couple of things. For in terms of medical care, I want to find a way for the medical profession to get to the prostate gland other than the way they're getting to it now. So that's one of my platforms. But the original idea was I wanted to get rid of low flow toilets. There were a lot of people don't realize, young people, we used to have great toilets in this country. We had powerful toilets. We had toilets that could suck down a mature sheep. And somehow we allowed the government to take that away from us. And my goal as a candidate was to restore that. But I don't know. I used to be kind of a joke. I'm not sure I am anymore. I think I'm getting to be more mainstream, to be honest.
Yes. Well, I personally relate to most of your platform, quite frankly.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You can be on the Supreme Court. That's
love it. I'll get my robe. I'll be fitted for a robe just as soon as I get off the air. So you've been had an unbelievable career as a columnist. You've had television shows based on your life. You've written this fantastic book. You've written other fantastic books. What is next, Dave?
I look for continued immaturity followed by death. So I see ahead.
You're longing for a very immature death, is what you're saying.
I'm not looking for any major change, is what I'm saying here. I'm just,
I thought I heard something about movies, scripts, or something like that. No? Am I wrong?
I've written some novels, and a couple of them, one of them got made into a movie, and every now and then I get involved in some, screenplay project with L.A., but I've learned that they never, ever, ever make these movies.
I'm
not sure how the movie industry works.
You're continually in development.
I'm in development. One of these days I'm going to develop into something, but it's so far not happening.
Well, I had some friends who wrote scripts that were never filmed, and they still got paid, which was like...
No, you can make a good living writing movies that never get made. In fact, you probably make more money that way than writing movies that get made. I don't know.
Dave, you have... you're hysterical. You're a professional wise ass. And I say that with all due respect. You're class clown. I think we've gone beyond that. We're a mature 77-year-old juvenile sophomoric person, which is right up my alley. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'm, as you can tell, a huge fan. And
I got to thank you for reading my book, which I didn't even know was legal in the radio profession. But thank you for that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And also thank you for being my age. I didn't know there's anybody left on the face of the earth who's my age. And it really cheers me up. Does.
Well, I'm glad to hear it because I'm going like baby boomers right on.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. I look forward to more from you in the future. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. Dave Barry, the book is Class Clown, The Memoirs of a Professional Wise Ass, How I Went 77 Years Without Growing Up.